25 through 30. Let's read it. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we want to thank you for the examples you give us in Scripture. Lord, as we look into the life of Epaphroditus, this man who ministered to Paul at the risk of his own life, what a blessing it is to read of his service, to read of the love the Philippians had for him and the love Paul had for him. Lord, open our hearts to your word this morning as we look into it, and may you be given the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we saw a commendation to Timothy. And Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a leader. Timothy was a protege of the Apostle Paul. When I say protege or disciple or apprentice, you know exactly what that means. That is a very tight relationship in the sense that Paul considered Timothy as if he were his own son. And the whole point of the relationship between Paul and Timothy was that when Paul passed off the scene, and as you know, Paul, this first imprisonment in Rome, it would be a few years later that Paul would ultimately meet his death at the hands of Nero, that Paul was grooming Timothy to replace him as the missionary to the Gentiles. And we read in 1 and 2 Timothy the detailed instructions and the love that Paul has for Timothy. Such tender epistles to this young pastor, this young half-Gentile, half-Jewish young man who is seeking to take the reins from the Apostle Paul when it's all over. Timothy spent a huge amount of time in Rome with Paul. We don't know exactly how long. We can only guess that it was probably the entire length of his imprisonment, which is a couple years. The second imprisonment, it's pretty clear that Timothy was not there, because when Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, most Bible scholars say it was during Paul's second imprisonment, which was a lot more serious than his first one. Here in Philippians, Paul is writing during his first imprisonment, which was bad enough. But the second imprisonment, sometime later, that was much more serious. The tone is much more serious. Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept it. Paul knew that this was the end. But Timothy isn't the only one commended. We read about this man named Epaphroditus. Now, who was Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus was another long-term companion of Paul. Timothy was there with Paul through Rome. There was also this gentleman named Epaphroditus. The Philippians had sent Epaphroditus to Paul to minister to Paul, to bring him gifts from the church. Now, if you were in prison, and of course, I've never been in prison before, but I was in college, and occasionally my mom and dad would send me a care package from home. And my parents were not like most parents, because my parents lived out in the country. And so, and my mom canned, and we always, you know, we just really ate well. And my mom would send her mason jars wrapped and protected of grape juice that she had made from the grapes, and applesauce, and all this homemade stuff, which my roommates were like, wow, this is awesome. And so my mom and dad would send me a care package occasionally. This was like a care package from the Philippians, a gift that Epaphroditus had taken. Now, more than likely, my guess is it was money. Okay, that, I mean, let's be honest. It's very hard to haul, you know, goats and meat and stuff 1,000 miles from Philippi, which was in Galatia in Asia Minor, across the Aegean or up overland into Rome. So this was not, he probably wasn't hauling a train or something, okay? Who knows? But my guess is it was some supplies and money that the Philippians had collected for Paul. And it was a greatly appreciated gift, obviously. Now, but that's not the only thing. Epaphroditus was there to serve Paul. And that would have been a great encouragement to him, to have somebody there to watch out for him, to maybe give Timothy a break occasionally. You know, the Romans, they weren't exactly, you know, there wasn't such thing as Amnesty International back then or lawyer groups. They had some sense of justice, but in reality, Paul was pretty much on his own. So if he was expecting food and comfort and things from the Romans, he wasn't going to get it. He would get, you know, your basic needs like water and air and maybe some food. Comforts he was not going to get. Epaphroditus provided those. He sent himself as a gift. He was there. In fact, if you look over, just heard a couple chapters over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, you see it explained a little more. If you go to Philippians 4, verses 18 through 20, Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This was a great gift. And Paul says, I am well supplied. I don't think I've ever heard a prisoner say that. I'm good. I'm taken care of. Don't worry about me. I'm just sitting here in jail. I'm well supplied. Grateful. Calls it a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Again, the imagery of the sacrifice. We talked earlier about the drink offering. And how Paul is, again, appealing to their knowledge of the Jewish customs and traditions and the Old Testament sacrifices, saying it's a sacrifice and it's pleasing to God. That was the whole point of a sacrifice, to please God, to offer it to him. And that pleased God to receive those things. And Paul says, God is pleased by this. Thank you. And then if you look up in verses 10 and 11 in Philippians 4, you see a little bit more about this gift. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 11, if you just go back a few verses, it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, I know that you were concerned for me, but you didn't have the opportunity. You know, we're separated by distance. And now that Epaphroditus has come, it's encouraged me. And he says, you had no opportunity. I know before you weren't able to help me. But now that you're able to help me, I appreciate it very much. And also, by the way, I've learned whatever situation I am to be content. Basically, a repeat of verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Paul expressing his desire that God's will be done, whether I am full and well supplied or whether I am in need, God always provides for me. Both of these verses make reference to the financial and the material and delivered courtesy of this gentleman, Epaphroditus. In essence, now that we've read these verses, all of these verses, you know, you're starting to think, is basically the book of Philippians just an extended thank you note? Yes, it is. It is an extended thank you note to the Philippians. It happens to be a thank you note that's theologically rich. and full of powerful teaching, but it's a thank you note nonetheless. So who was Epaphroditus? Well, he was a Gentile. And that'll become apparent later when we look at the origin of his name. He was not a noted teacher, leader, elder. We don't hear him mentioned very much. Philippians is the only place we hear about Epaphroditus. Now, there's some people think that sometimes a shortened version of Epaphroditus is Epaphras, and sometimes we see that name in other epistles, but again, most people think that's not the same person. It's another Epaphras. But Epaphroditus, nothing is known about his early life or his history. He's mentioned only in Philippians. Not a noted teacher or leader or elder, probably. That's not to say that he wasn't. But if he was, he probably would have been mentioned in some of the other epistles. It's interesting to me that, this name, favored by Aphrodite, he was a Gentile. Jewish parents did not name their children after Greek gods, okay? At least not in those days. Now, it's not a big deal today. Like, if someone came into our church and they were named Apollo or Diana, we wouldn't think twice, would we? Because names just don't have the same significance as they used to. But back then, if you walked into mixed company and said, my name is Epaphroditus, he would immediately know, oh, he's a Gentile. His parents named him after the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite. So he was a Christian, converted sometime during, we don't know if it was during Paul's ministry, but he was at the Philippian church. He was sent to Paul from Philippi to deliver gifts. And that's pretty much all we know about him. What is interesting to me about this whole passage is the fact that Epaphroditus apparently just wanted to stay. There was nothing that was keeping him, there was no reason for him to go back to Philippi. I'm sure there was a good reason for him to go back to Philippi, but Paul needed him. And so he stayed. And he ministered. And so they ministered together, Epaphroditus, Timothy, and Paul. Now, if I was in jail and I had two men encouraging me and helping me and running errands for me and delivering letters for me, that would be a great encouragement. And these men had given up, bet their lives on hold to help the Apostle Paul. And in spite of everything, and in spite of this arrangement going well, it's clear that circumstances changed. And Paul had to do something that he didn't really want to do. And that was send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. And he explains in verses 25 and 27. So back in chapter 2, again, go back there, chapter 2, verses 25 and 27, 25 through 27. We'll read it again, Philippians 2, 25 through 27. Paul explains why he is sending Epaphroditus back. I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and a fellow soldier, and your messenger, and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus was beloved by Paul. And not only was he beloved by Paul, he was beloved by his church. This Epaphroditus, he was apparently well-loved, cared for. And when he became sick, people were worried about him. And again, sickness in the New Testament age was very common. Now, we get sick, but our life expectancy is much higher now. But I can just, you can read these verses, and the idea is he was dying. It wasn't just your normal run-of-the-mill sickness. It could have been acute, it could have been chronic, we don't know, but it was enough where he was there. He was on the edge of death. And this greatly disturbed Paul, and it greatly disturbed the Philippians. Apparently, everybody loved this guy, Epaphroditus. So much so that his sickness caused great sorrow. Now, the good news is he got better. And if you look at verses 28 through 30, he says, I'm more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Paul was concerned about two things. Number one, simply put, the Philippians were missing him. They were missing him. He wanted to send them back. Epaphroditus wanted to go back because he knew they cared for him. I find this extraordinary. I just, you know, there's no evidence to suggest that Epaphroditus had a great teaching or preaching ministry or these gifts that we often highly value in Christendom, the preaching and teaching. He was just the man who wanted to help. Maybe he had financial means. And I suspect he did. He was trusted by the Philippians to take this gift all the way to Paul. So he may have been a man of means. His example, I think, was a great comfort to the lay people of the Philippian church. The church is made up of lay people. It's not made up of preachers and teachers and missionaries. It's people who are coming to church to disciple others and to learn, and they have jobs outside of regular ministry or full-time ministry. It doesn't make them any less part of the church of God. I do believe Epaphroditus was a layman who put his life on hold for this short-term mission trip to Rome to minister to Paul. He was concerned that the Philippians would be sorrowful at his absence. He nearly died. And Paul knew better. I'm not going to keep him here. You know, you think about if I went to California tomorrow and I got sick or got in a car accident or something and I was in the hospital in California for 2 weeks and they let me out, what's the first thing I'd want to do? Go home. I got to get home. I've been out here too long. I've been sick. I got to see those I love, those that care for me. I care for them. I miss my family. I miss my church. Get me home. Epaphroditus no doubt felt the same way. The second reason he needed to get back, and this is kind of obvious, and it really just hit me this morning. The second reason he needed to go back was Paul needed somebody to deliver the epistle, right? Who was going to take the book of Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, to the Philippians? Epaphroditus. He was the natural choice. He came from Philippi. He was going back to Philippi. Who better to take the thank you note back than Epaphroditus? So that worked out for Paul. Paul was very complimentary of Epaphroditus. You ever know you have a, maybe there's something in there, I don't know if it's a letter or whatever, and it has nice words about you, it has something complimentary in it, and you kind of know it's in there, but you're afraid to, you know, kind of look at it because you don't want to get your hopes up, or you know you're going to get an award. Yeah, you ever been in a, get an award and you're sitting there, and you're, they're kind of getting ready to introduce you, and you're going, they're talking about me, or you hope they're talking about you. They might call somebody else's name, and you're like, oh, I thought it was me. It wasn't you. Well, this Epaphroditus, this praise for him, is in the letter he delivers back to his church. Look at the verse 25. Verse 25, Paul calls him my brother, fellow worker. I'm going to list them off. Brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. How would you like those superlatives in front of your name? That's complimentary. Paul had high praise for Epaphroditus. My brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. It reminds me of those, you ever seen those things on TV? I don't watch a lot of this stuff, but sometimes some of the women in my life do, but like royal weddings and, you know, the monarchy in Britain, the British, which is kind of cool to watch. And occasionally you listen to the Archbishop of Canterbury up there, dressed in his, you know, flowing white pajamas, and he's telling all the titles. You know, these royalty, they have all these titles. So he starts reading, Lord of the Admiralty, Vicar of the High Seas, Duke of Wellington, Duke of Earl, Duke of Worcestershire Sauce. It's Worcestershire, not sauce. That's just, you know. They have all these titles to kind of inflate their position. And of course, these monarchs, they don't ask for these titles necessarily. They're given to them, all right? They're bestowed on them by a grateful nation. Okay, so when they want to honor a duke or an earl or a duchess or a prince or princess, they'll add a title or they'll add sir. That's what the Brits do. If they want to honor someone, a musician or a politician or a cultural icon, they knight him and call him sir, lord, high honor of the British Empire. It's an easy way to make people feel good. Napoleon said, they told Napoleon, why were his armies so powerful? And Napoleon said, well, I give them medals. I give them little ribbons. And they will die for me for those little ribbons. Just the gratitude and the praise. It's a pretty nice description. Because not very many of us are willing to do that. But if you think about it, we know people that do stuff like this. You know, I'm just thinking of Earl and Paul Amos. Earl Amos and the Vogels, they went over there to Australia to minister to missionaries there, short term. Take their time. Being over here took time off work, took time to raise money. That's exactly what Epaphroditus did. It took time. It took effort. Was Epaphroditus retired? I don't know. Maybe he had a business. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he had time to do such a thing. Was he married? Did he have children? We don't know. Probably not. But he made a sacrifice to come. In fact, he almost made the ultimate sacrifice. And that was almost losing his life. Every day that we live is an example of God's mercy. And you think, why didn't Paul, you know, didn't Paul have all these magical apostle powers? Couldn't he have just healed Epaphroditus? Well, that wasn't God's will. It was God's will that Epaphroditus go through this suffering. And it was also God's will that he be healed. And if Epaphroditus would have died, that would have been God's will as well. Because Paul said, whether I live or whether I die or I live for Christ. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Was God's will. God had mercy on Epaphroditus. And in verse 27, Paul says, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I'd have sorrow upon sorrow. Again, if being in jail wasn't bad enough, losing a good friend, an invaluable co-worker, a man of such regard that Paul had this high praise for him, would have been very difficult for him to swallow. Every day that we live, every day that you and I live, is an example of God's mercy to us. Do you take time to think about that? Your life, the passage we read in 1 Chronicles, David says, we've gathered all these things for you, Lord, but they were all yours to begin with, and we're just giving them back to you. Every day that we live is an example of God's mercy. Verse 28, I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Seeing Epaphroditus again would bring so much joy to the heart of the Philippians. And there was great risk, not only in his sickness, but did you ever think about Paul being a prisoner of Rome? That's a pretty serious charge. Knowing that Paul could have at any time been taken away and executed. Now, I don't know about you, but I try to stay away from stink, all right? I don't want someone's stink to rub off on me, all right? So, you know, I don't want to hang around criminals because I don't want any of their machinations. Like if they say, here, can you hold this duffel bag for me? No thanks, because I'm afraid of what's in the duffel bag. Being around Paul in Rome, a prisoner of Rome, knowing he could have been executed any second, can you imagine them dragging Paul off and Epaphroditus is standing there? Who are you? Hi, I'm Epaphroditus. I'm Paul's mailman. Yeah. He risked his life to be hanging around Paul. And remember, I described last week with Timothy being a well-known, gifted, spirit-powered disciple, stayed with Paul, even though he knew some of the stink might rub off on him. He stayed anyways. And Epaphroditus stayed. Honor such men. You know, we have missionaries. Those are the Knoxes. That's Alan Patterson, his wife Jane. It's interesting that, and I'll be honest with you about this, I want my children to be around people like this. You know, we've had, I think all these missionaries I show you today, I've had them in my home at one time or another. And you, some of you have too. And why do we do that? I do that because I want my children to be around people who exhibit this kind of faithfulness. I want my children to see people like this. I want them to do the instruction where Paul said, honor such men. Hold them in high regard. Don't criticize them. Hold them up as examples. These people, people like our missionaries, like the Knoxes, like the Pattersons, like the DeBunyos, like Jennifer Pearson, like the Seawrights. These people are doing exactly what Epaphroditus did. And we look at Epaphroditus and say, what a great man. Paul uses all these superlatives. Do they not deserve at least that much honor from us? Not just financially. Our financial abilities are capped, okay? We only have so much money we can give. But honor and prayer and blessing, those can go much further and I think are much more appreciated. And we say blessing. We pray God's blessing upon them. We pray God's honor and our honor to them. That means so much, not only to them, but I think God is pleased by that. And you're like, yeah, but it's not like cold hard cash. That's what they really need. What they really need is to hear those words, honor such men, hold them up in high regard. I want my daughters to see these people, to honor them, to respect them. Not Lady Gaga. She doesn't deserve our honor. Not actors or actresses. It's people like Epaphroditus, people like the Seawrights and the DeBunyos, Jennifer Pearson, who've given up so much to minister to others, sometimes more than we'll ever know. And that's the lesson we can learn, to honor them. What's another lesson we can learn from the life of Epaphroditus? Well, here's an application for us. Nothing lasts forever. Circumstances can change. People change. Events out of our control force difficult decisions. Paul made a difficult decision. Epaphroditus, I need to send you back home. That's a tough decision. But he did it. Things change. And as much as we would like to see things remain the same, they don't remain the same. They change. Our missionaries, they won't be on the field forever. They'll leave. There'll be others to replace them for sure. Jonathan and Wes, we were talking about them this morning. They've changed. They've grown up. They're not the same people they were 10 years ago when I first met them. Jonathan's much more mature now. He was at a winter retreat one time, and I remember Jeff Jones, we were all in a room, and it was like 10 below zero outside, and we were joking, and Jeff said, whoever goes out and does a snow angel, we were all just dressed in our street clothes, short sleeves and blue jeans, whoever goes out and does a snow angel, they're going to get first in line for all the meals this weekend. And without batting an eyelid, Jonathan ran out there, jumped in a snow drift, did a snow angel, ran back in. And Jeff kept his word. He did go first for every meal. Now, would he do that today? I don't know. Maybe. I'm sure he'd maybe think about it a little bit longer. But nothing changes. People change. Attitudes change. You know, Wes, he isn't here. I remember one time hearing a noise in the hallway. I'm like, what is that sound? It sounded like somebody was like riding a bicycle up and down the hallway. And here's Christopher Art in a wheelchair and Wesley behind him, and they're going like NASCAR down this hallway in Leonard Vogel's wheelchair. What are you guys doing? Now, would they do that today? I don't know. Maybe if nobody was around. They did it when you're around. Kids stuff. Kids do that. Kids do things like that, but they're now they're men. And when you become a man, you do things differently. Paul looked at changing circumstances in a different way than most people. See, Paul could find God's glory in life. He could find it in death. He could find it in sickness, and he could find it in health. God's glory and God's purpose, it was time for Epaphroditus to go. Now, I'm sure Paul could have said, you know what, Epaphroditus, I've been sick before too. In fact, I was lashed 40 times. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. All these things he could have listed off. Epaphroditus, we're just getting started. Paul said, Epaphroditus, go home. Things have changed. You've been sick. Your church needs you more than I do right now. The circumstances changed. Have you had an Epaphroditus moment recently? I have them all the time, where the things that I want to do don't quite work out the way I expected. Did sickness prevent you from doing something you enjoy doing? Did finances prevent you from buying something you really needed? Did you miss an appointment because of circumstances that were out of your control? Maybe it was a very important appointment. You see, our lives are filled with these events. But Paul always finds a way. Have you noticed this? He always finds a way to get the focus off of the circumstances and on to God's glory. He always finds a way to do it. Someone who is focused on their own kingdom would say something like, I'm sending Epaphroditus back home. He's sick. Sometimes God says, no, sorry. And the attitude is, oh, this is terrible. Where is God? Instead, he says, I am happy. I am joyful to send Epaphroditus back to receive him in joy. I was so worried about him. Thank God he is well. Honor him. Rejoice with me that he's coming home. Could have looked at this as a negative. Paul's little church. Remember last week I told you about Paul's church in Rome. Would you attend Paul's church? Imagine the brochure for Paul's church. Come visit us. We have the pastor, Paul, and the assistant pastor, Timothy. And we have the Roman soldier who serves as security. Would you have attended Paul's church? And Epaphroditus, by him leaving, the church shrunk by a third. That's a pretty tough loss to bear. It was hard for Paul to send Epaphroditus back home. But he turned it around and he said, I'm glad he gets to go home. He's been sick. You've been worried. I was worried. Let's praise God that he's well again. So when he comes home, honor him for what he did for me. Honor him. And so we should honor when we find people like this doing things like this. Honor them. Give them encouragement. Let them know about Epaphroditus. Say, you know what? Your situation reminds me of Epaphroditus. He went, he gave up, he put his life on hold for a little bit to serve Paul. And no, it wasn't forever. It was temporary. It didn't last that long, but it was enough. And it was enough for you to honor him. Fellow soldier, fellow worker, messenger. Let's pray. Father,